You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, staying home alone. It's something that most young teenagers dream of. It's a representation of freedom and coming of age. But what happens when the doorbell won't stop ringing and the individual responsible for it is nowhere to be found? That chilling story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, get access to all of the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. It's all there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There's somebody here at the door. Hello?
Ding dong. It's me at the door, bitches.
Okay. It's just Robert. He's just playing with us again.
It's me at the door, bitches.
Ding dong, it's me at the door, bitches.
What's funny is that when I was listening to that opener, I don't even know what he was. I didn't even listen to one damn thing he was saying, actually. I was just listening to how he was saying it and that he sounds so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's so funny. I never realized how robotic he spoke.
He really did, and that's what I think lends to them doing this well, because it's like it was the same pattern every single time he spoke. And it just over and over. So it's not hard to generate that.
It cracks me up because every time I don't even pay any attention to what he's saying. I'm just listening to him talk.
And I hear it going like, damn, this could be a real one. Like, it totally sounds like something like that was on Unsolved Mysteries.
I know. It's so weird.
That's great. It's always great to have
Although
Robert.
When he does the knock-knock jokes, but he says them robotically, like he probably did in real life. Like, I got the feeling the guy probably couldn't tell a joke.
Robert, what do you think?
Right.
Ding dong. It's me at the door, bitches.
Because then everybody be, Robert, it's your delivery.
The inflection. Like, the other
it's
way.
It's me at the door, bitches. Give it a little something. Like, and then he'd try it again. It's me at the door. Bitches.
It's me at the door, bitches.
Oh, no.
Love you, Rob.
gotta work on that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. If I do work on that, then I cannot do my job at Unsolved Mysteries.
It's, yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. Good old Robert.
Just cracks me up. Cracks me up.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Let's actually go to a caller to kick off the show today. As soon as I can get that folder open that has those calls in it, the sooner I can get to that call. Stand by.
Bitches. Let's go to that call, bitches.
I had it open and then I closed it like right as I was trying to open it. All right.
How did you do that, bitches?
I don't know why I did that, Carol Hughes. Back to the conversation in just a second. You know those nights when you just don't sleep and the next day you're dragging, exhausted, and everything just feels harder? That's where CBD from CB Distillery can make a real difference. My goodness, I am telling you. It's not just sleep, though. CB Distillery has solutions that will work with your body to help with stress, pain after exercise, even mood and focus. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. Imagine waking up rested or enjoying your day without those nagging aches and pains. That's the real win of CB Distillery Solutions. That's why over 2 million people trust CB Distillery. I have been using their products now for quite some time, and I absolutely love it, especially the sleep angle. My goodness. I was having so many nights where it was like, okay, I'm waking up here, not quite. Their products? Like, okay, this is lovely. I'll keep this in my bedstand for the rest of my life, please. So if you're ready for better sleep, less stress, and feeling good in your own skin again, try CBD from CB Distillery. And right now, you can save 25% on your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use promo code GHOST. That's CBDistillery.com, promo code GHOST. CBDistillery.com. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. Now back to the conversation. All right, here we go. This is a ghost story. Hi, what's going on?
Hi, Tony and friends. My name is Desiree, calling from Connecticut. I love your podcast. I just started listening about 2 weeks ago. And as soon as I get home tonight from work, I will be joining you as an EPP member. But I wanted to give you my story really quick. I hope it's not too long for your recording. But it started when I was 11 years old. My mom rented an apartment from a coworker of hers. And apparently there was some history to the apartment. He told my mom some history about the apartment. She just never shared with us, which was my two older brothers and my stepdad. So anyway, everything started when it would be like nighttime and I would be at home with my dad because my brothers were always out with their friends. And my mom, you know, she worked some nights. And my stepdad and I would hear what would sound like kids running up and down the stairs in the front hallway. And, you know, my stepdad would get kind of pissed off because here he is trying to relax after a long day of work. And he would open the door and look, and there would be no one. So we would just kind of give each other like this look, like, you know, we both know we heard it. So, you know, it's just like, okay, whatever. We'll keep on watching TV. Then all of a sudden we'll hear it again. And my stepdad will kind of just go to the door and kind of just listen. And he, like, wouldn't hear it because I would clearly hear it as well. And he would open the door. And again, nobody. So, you know, it was something that would happen not every night, but occasionally. So then another experience I had there was one day I was home alone, and my mom had like no one to babysit me. Everyone had to work, so I stayed home alone, and I had got some new rollerblades for Christmas. So of course it's snowing out. Couldn't take the rollerblades outside to skate. So, you know, I would try to rollerblade inside the house. So my mom, I guess she had found out that that's what I was doing because she would find out the skid marks all over the place. But, so one day, she told me, she's like, you know, I don't want you, in the house, better not catch any skid marks all over the floor. I'm like, okay, won't do it again. Okay, whatever. So, you know, here I am, kid, bored. And so I start rollerblading all over the house. And there was a hallway between the kitchen and the living room. And that's where I would, like, you know, rollerblade back to and from. And this one particular time, I'm, like, going with the roll blades, and when I feel like a shove, like someone shoved me from behind, and I fell. So when I fell, I ended up hurting my knee, and in turn, I ended up calling my mom at work and letting her know what happened. And of course, got yelled at for roll blading or whatever, but, you know, she dismissed the shove and said that it was just probably, you know, me going too fast on my roller blades, and maybe I should have listened and not roller blade. So, you know, we left that alone. Another time, I was laying in my bed at night, and I had, trouble going to sleep. And I felt like something sat at the end of my bed. And, you know, I'm awake, and I'm like, oh my God, what is that? So, you know, I thought maybe one of my brothers came home, because we did have a door that connected two of our rooms together. One of my brother's rooms and my room, we had a door that, like, I could just walk in his room if I wanted to. But the door, like, my brother always had a lock on it, so he would keep the lock so I would never go in there. But so I just kind of thought maybe he's trying to scare me. So I just tried to ignore it and get to sleep. And then I felt like a hand, like, go from my head to, like, the middle of my back. Like, it was trying to, like caress me like a mom would do with kids. Like, you know, like, good night, you know, like, I don't know. Oh, my God. I just have chills right now while telling you this still. Because it's like I still remember that so vividly. And when I felt that, I ripped the blanket from on me and I ran out of my room. I ran into my mom's room and I'm crying, I'm screaming, and she's asking me what's going on. And, I told her what happened, and she said it was all in my head, again, trying to dismiss it. But she, you know, let me sleep the night in her room and just try to tell me that it was all in my head. And whatever. And from that night on, I've never slept in that room again. I would always find a reason to sleep in my brother's room, or I would go to my mom's room, and before I knew it was time for bed, I would pretend like I was asleep so she would leave me there, because I just would not go there. And she would have forced me there either, because obviously I think she did know what was going on. You know, she just maybe had experiences of her own and just didn't want to admit what was going on to me so I wouldn't be scared. So then another experience I had was, and this one could have been a fluke, but I went to turn on the stove one day to help my mom cook. And it was a gas stove, and it wasn't coming on. We never really had problems with the stove. So, you know, I just kept on, like, turning it on, turning it on, turning it on. And then I'm like, you know, I smell it, but I don't, you know, hear it coming. And then it wasn't until I kind of move my head a little bit to see if, like, I can hear it. And the flames just went up and lit my hair on fire. So, like, you know, that scared me. Like, obviously, like, it didn't get too much in my hair, but, you know, enough to scare me as a little 11-year-old. But those pretty much were, like, my experiences in this house. It wasn't until we moved out of there into another home that my mom did sit my brothers and I down and told us that, in fact, the house was haunted. Apparently, a family lived there many, many years before we did. It had been a good 10 years before the landlord re-rented out the place, and he rented it out to us. But apparently, someone tried to go in the house and rob the place and, burglarize, and they shot and killed the younger girl that lived there. She was 14 years old. So that's who got shot and killed in that house. I don't know if maybe it was her that, was doing all this scaring to me, and maybe her going running up and down the stairs. But that, both my stepfather and I did hear that. So I know I wasn't crazy with that, but, you know, my mom said, you know, we only lived there for maybe about 2 years, but, you know, she did tell us that that's what was happening in that house. Also, as an adult right now, I purchased my own home. I don't feel anything in my home. I've been there for about 3 years now, but there is this house on my street, maybe about a quarter mile up from my house, that it's been abandoned the whole time I've lived there. I take my dog on a walk every night before bed, and we walk past this house every single night. And the house just creeps me out, always gives me the creeps every time I walk by it. Anytime, like, my dog maybe will stop and have a tinkle in front of the house, I just get this weird vibe as if I'm being watched. Just recently, I've been noticing the basement lights on in that house. And if the basement lights are not on, sometimes the hallway light is on at that house. And so I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if lights just stay on a property, even though it's been abandoned for 3 years. And it's probably been abandoned way longer than that. 3 years is all I've really known. But it just gives me the creeps. And every time I walk my dog, I call it the creepy house. So, anyway, those are my stories. I would like your thoughts on the things that I've shared. And again, you know, hope you guys keep the podcast for a really long time. I really enjoy it. And you guys have a great one. Thanks for talking. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
There you go. Talk about, I mean, some scary experiences there, especially what comes to my mind is the fire on the stove that flew up at her.
Yeah, and you know, a gas stove, I guess, could do some freaky things, but
yeah,
that was dangerous.
Yeah,
but I was wondering as she was telling the stories, because it was all like things that were happening to her, and then to find out what happened in that house, to have lived there and not known.
Yeah,
which I guess as a parent, I could see why. I don't think I'd be like, hey, we're moving into a new house, gang. And by the way, little girl got killed there. There's robbery. Just wanted you to know. You know, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that not knowing the history of the house and things were happening to her.
Yeah.
That another young girl would want to get in on. Like, hey, you're rollerblading around the house. I want to rollerblade around the house. Or I want your attention while you're rollerblading around the yeah. house. You know, so yeah. I definitely can see why she would have been attracted to her.
Yeah.
And I just think that would totally freak me out to know that kind of history. behind a house.
Would you be able
and
to stay there?
There should be, like, I totally get that feeling of walking by the creepy house.
Mm-hmm.
Like that house, it's like, you know, you walk
I
by.
I love those
like,
places.
I know they're looking at me.
Yeah.
And then to have lights on and off in different places in the house, that's weird.
What ends up happening is it's like The Burbs. Remember the Tom Hanks movie?
I don't think I ever saw it.
Oh, my goodness. You got to see. There's the creepy house in it. And then there's like the weird family in it. And at the end, it's discovered like, oh, everybody's OK. Nobody's they think there's like one is a murderer. It's a classic. Growing up, I had neighbors that very much resembled that family, except I think there was actual murderous things involved with the family.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, whoops. We killed somebody.
Yeah.
Don't go talking about that.
Including several suicides on the property. Yeah. And the house very much resembled the house from The Burbs.
Oh.
It's like the rest of the neighborhood was cool, and there's like this. And it's still there. And to this day, it's like, what?
Did you see it when you went back?
Yeah. I mean, I can't not. It's like right out my parents' window across a creek. And they've been like trying to grow trees there for 30 years to like hide it. And like they've never really gotten anything to grow very well. So it's just like, it's still there.
Now, my sister lived in a house where somebody did get murdered in the house behind where she lived.
Yeah.
They had big lots. I think they were each all an acre, acre and a half. So it was big lots. And they did. They planted a row of trees. And now you can't see that house.
That's nice.
I'm like, that was a really good idea.
When I lived in Wichita, we played the game of, Did your unit have a decapitation in it? Which is, it's a fun game to play.
Yeah, because you lived in an apartment building where, and it had a lake.
Yep.
And they found a woman's head in the lake.
No. They never found the head. They found the woman in a unit. And she was like a cleaning lady for somebody. And
but they didn't find her head.
They didn't find her head. They dredged the lake. They drained the lake.
That's it.
They never found the head.
That's why I have the lake in my brain. They looked there for the head.
There's like a mysterious head hanging out somewhere. But it was a domestic, not that it makes it any better, but it wasn't like a random, you know, hatchet job to someone.
It
makes it more sense. Like, okay, it's not a random person that's going and cutting people's heads off.
I mean, it does make it better in that the odds of me getting my head cut off by that
very,
guy have
decreased
greatly.
Exactly.
The fact that somebody like that guy lived in our neighborhood, that bothers me.
That would be kind of weird. I mean, what I'm wondering is like, how did the guy get in there, take her head, and leave without like anybody seeing? Because it was a very active little, there was a lot of units there.
Oh, like,
and there was a lot of young people. And
I can't remember what show I was watching, but one of those. There was some murder show. And anyway, the guy had cut off somebody's head. And he said that he put it in like a, some kind
a
of a
bowling
bag,
ball bag
like
would
a
be
bowling
good.
Ball bag.
That'd be
That's
great
what
for
I
a head.
And so, yeah, but he had it in some kind of bag, and he remembered walking down or up the stairs. He was on the stairs.
Yeah.
And some like young college kids were out partying. They're running up the stairs or something. And he's like, I just remember thinking, if they only knew I had a head in my bag. You hear something like that, and it kind of sticks with you.
What? That would be okay.
But that's how you do it. You just put it in your gym bag and you walk out.
Oh my God. That would be a great prank to do like at a bowling alley. Like there's like the bowling alley pro shop, you know, and that's where you can like get some of that stuff. You go in there with the bowling ball bag and you're like, you know, I really want to talk about this one, or I want to get something that's engraved. And you open it and there's a fucking head in the bag and not the bowling ball. And you just act like, oh shit, I grabbed the wrong bag. And then you just like, you didn't see that. You didn't see that. And then you try and convince and you try and buy off the guy at the bowling alley to not talk. So you keep, you know, raising the dollar amount and like even like have a suitcase there with money. So it's like, will the guy not talk for X amount of money that there's a head in the bowling ball bag.
That would be a great prank for television.
That would be a great prank for television. or another one would just be very curiously go in there inquiring about the bags, but you don't want to ball and you detest bowling. You don't bowl, but you want it. And you keep asking, like, do you think this would fit a head of like a,
I mean, it's about the size,
like a 6 foot eight, you know, moderately large woman. That's the head. Would that fit in there? Why would you ask that, sir? I'm just curious because I mean, just gotta, I suppose I could shave the hair. What are you planning on doing with this? Nothing really, you know? What about this extra large one up? I just want to make sure it fits. Just keep going.
And then, like, you're like, can you lean down here? Let me look at your head.
Can you put your head in the bag? you guys are kind of similar in size. Can you just fit your head in the bag just for a second for me?
Okay, I'll take it.
Oh God, let's just keep going. Because my next step would be to call a bowling alley right now and start making this like phone call, and, like prank it and see. Like, I gotta get a head in the bag. Oh, that would be so funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter. It says, "Hi, my name is Matt. I live in Montauk, Michigan. This summer, I subscribed to Spotify, able to listen to music and podcasts at work, and I came across Real Ghost Stories Online and have listened to the show ever since. Thank you for keeping me entertained throughout the work week. I love hearing all the different stories and options that everyone shares. I can't wait to become an EPP member and listen to all the stories I'll gain access to. I had my first experience with the paranormal when I was 12 years old. Since then, I've been fascinated with the paranormal and all the questions we all look for answers to. Want to share some of my stories with everyone and hopefully hear one on the podcast sometime. I decided what better story to share than my first experience with the paranormal. As the story goes, I was 12 years old at the time. I'm now 43. I'll do my best at recalling the story as I remember it. My family, which included two younger brothers and my mom, were living in an apartment complex at the time. The apartment complex is located in Corunna, Michigan, which is next to my hometown of Oswego, Michigan. Thinking back, at the time, the complex had 7 buildings, which held at least 12 apartments in each building. To give you an idea of the size, the buildings were lettered from A to G. Also, they had 3 floors. Main floor at ground level, bottom floor, second story, and a third story. We lived in building E on the second floor, relevant to the story. One of my friends lived in building F, kitty corner from my building. From our balcony, you could see my friend's building. This day, my friend was over and my mom was leaving with my brothers to go grocery shopping. I'd normally be going along with her, but that day I asked if I could stay home by myself with my friend. Knowing she would not be gone long at the store, she agreed to let me stay home and hang out with my friend. After my family left, my friend Mark and I were in the living room playing our handheld video games and discussing trading games, which we like to do. Of course, time flies when you're having fun. Before you know it, it was getting dark outside. My friend looks at his watch and tells me it's time for him to get home before his mom gets upset that he's past his curfew. He leaves. I lock the door behind him. I could hear the security door shut to the building and saw him out of the balcony window walking to his building. I sit down on the couch, which is also right next to the balcony and door to the apartment, start playing my video game, and I've been playing long, maybe 10 minutes, and I hear the door buzzer ring. Now, this only buzzes when one of the buttons outside is pressed. From my apartment, I could look out the balcony window and see if anyone was outside by that door and buttons. The other side of the building, I would not be able to see unless I was to leave my apartment and look down the hall, which I'd be able to see both security doors and part of the porches through glass windows by the doors. Nonetheless, after I had been startled a little from hearing the buzzer, not expecting anyone, I decided it must be my friend forgot something or asked me to come back over for longer. So I pushed the button on the intercom and asked, "Who is it?" Expecting my friend to answer me with something like, "Let me in. I don't hear anything at all." Now I assume my friend is messing with me. Look out the balcony window down by the one door my friend used when he left and doesn't see anything at all. Eventually, I just sit back down and start playing my game again. I do remember how quiet it was that day and turning my sound down on my game so I could listen for any apartment doors opening or footsteps from anyone in the hallways outside our door. Everything seemed almost too quiet. So, after sitting back down and turning on my game again, I hear the buzzer go off. This time I remember asking, "Who is it?" But also opening the apartment door after looking out the peephole and not seeing anyone. I opened the door so I could look at the other door and maybe catch the person who was ringing it. I don't see anyone again, but I'm still pushing the button on the intercom to give my opinion to anyone outside who may be listening. As such, something probably along the lines of, "Real funny, quit ringing my doorbell." Maybe with some other choice words at the time. I decide again to sit down, play my game, again. I was nervous at this point because I was by myself for the first time and mind wandering, thinking, what if it isn't my friend or any neighborhood kids? I was just wanting my family to return from the store ASAP. Sitting and looking at my game and waiting to hear the doorbell buzz again. I know it's just a matter of time. A couple minutes go by and out of the silence it buzzes again. I take a deep breath, get ready to get up and possibly run out of the apartment and catch whoever it is. Just as I start to get up, there are three or four loud raps on the apartment door, meaning whoever or whatever this is directly on the other side of the door I'm right next to. That's when I become frozen and my heart sinks into my stomach. All I can think is this can't be a person at all. No one person could ring that buzzer outside and then knock on the door within a couple seconds. Not to mention there hasn't been any sound coming from the hallways or hearing any other doors closing. I was truly scared and somehow I got the courage to run to my bedroom, grab my baseball bat, only thing I thought of doing at the time. All the while not wanting to see a ghost or hear another knock on the door. I was going to prove myself there wasn't a person in that building, though. I left the apartment with my aluminum bat ready to take off someone's head if I saw anyone. I checked every floor, from the third floor all the way to the basement floor, including a laundry room. Never heard another sound that night, waiting for my mom to return home, while I sat with my bat across my lap watching for someone to ring a buzzer outside. My friend said he went home that night and never left his apartment. We stayed friends for years afterwards, and he always said he just went home that night. Anytime I told my story. Hope everyone enjoys my story. Keep up the great work. And stay safe. Thoughts on all that?
I don't know. Do you think it could have been the friend? Like, could there have been a way that he's kind of hiding somewhere? I don't know. Sounds like something a boy that age would do.
It does, but I think they were kind of looking at it logistically, though, too, going, I don't know how one humanly could do this. Unless there was a second ringer.
It was like the JFK
dun,
thing.
Dun, dun.
Did he do it by himself, or was there somebody else?
Yeah. Speaking of,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's a really well written story, actually, because it's creepy AF. But you know, I'm just trying to think. Okay, could it? Since it's a buzzer, it sounds like, you know, the game that you play on people where you ring their doorbell and then there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Ring the doorbell, nobody there.
No.
Now, that said, if my doorbell was to ring right now, it would scare the shit out of me.
Sure.
Even if there was somebody there. Because these days, that's scary enough, just thinking that somebody's at your front
door. Oh, exactly. Like, whenever that rings, like, I'm like, the cameras go on, I'm like looking, I'm watching, I'm like, who's out there? It's not just, let's go to the door and joyfully open it. It's just like...
Those days are gone.
I know.
So So I think you'd have that reaction whether someone was doing it or not these days. It's just not right. But it's so, it makes me sad too that, you know, he's going to be big and stay home by himself and play games. And then that horrible thing happened to him. The poor guy probably wasn't able to stay by himself again until he was like 17.
No.
Or maybe 21. He might have had to live at home for a really long time after that.
Yeah. Quite the story. Thank you for sharing that.
That was a good one. It was very well written.
Yeah. I want to say, and we can do this in a real corny way. Let's grab some bumper music, shall we? Let's
see what you into today.
Oh, here we go. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be making an announcement of an exciting interview coming up. Someone who is good friends with a very famous serial killer. Tomorrow on Good Morning America.
Can't wait.
It's actually the theme music from the 1980s when it was Charles Gibson and Joan London. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. A very interesting interview I have lined up. People can connect dots. You know, it's ghost, very ghostly related. Murder is certainly part of the story as well. A friend of ours, a friend of the show, hooked us up with someone that has some stories. So anyway, more on that tomorrow. That's called a tease.
Yeah. And it wasn't me. So, cause I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you off the air. Maybe.
Asshole.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all commercial free. Ebook, audiobook, it's all there to binge away on. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.